Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Well, this week we've got a great talent joining us here on East-West Audio Body Shop. David Kay is a multi-talented voiceover professional with more than 30 years' experience. He's provided narration and promotional branding for many networks, including ABC, FX, Starz, HBO, Sundance. The list goes on and on. He's going to tell us about his career and give us some tips about doing that promo stuff.
And as you can see, I'm here at WovoCon here in Las Vegas, so I'll have footage from the WovoCon event, shout-outs, and great information that I've gathered over the week at NAB. There's been a lot to do here, so I'll share whatever I can with you guys on Monday.
Can't wait to see all that stuff they had at NAB. And I'll have a tip of the week on iOS recording. What's that? You all know what it is. Plus, we'll answer all your questions. That's East West Audio Body Shop. 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock out here in the West.
And we'll see all of you in the chat room. And
he is the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars of Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He is a voice actor and the home studio master. Hailing from Buffalo, New York, his home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. This is Rob Marley from Austin, Texas. This episode of East West Audio Body Shop is brought to you by Edge Studio, providers of voiceover education, production, and technology. Harlan Hogan's Voiceover Essentials, products handpicked for voice actors. The Home Studio Master, get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. And Voiceover Extra, your one-stop resource for voiceover success. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his soon-to-be former penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening, or good afternoon, depending on what part of the world you're in. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Well, what a week this has been, at least for you. I just sat at home and fixed sewer drains and stuff. But that's a whole other story. Tonight we have a great show for you because, as you were probably just listening, David Kay is our guest. And this guy has got lots of credits to his name. Just a very talented guy. We're going to have a great time talking to him in just a little bit. And also we've got a tip of the week. We've got some video from WovoCon and hopefully from NAB. And we want to take your questions. We have a few still in here. You can send them in to ewabshop@gmail.com, and we'll read them on the air and maybe actually take a try at answering. But first,
time now to take a look at the news. EWAB's News.
All righty. Well, you got on the road and went to WovoCon while I sat here on my tuchus.
Yes, I did. I was very lucky to have gotten to be able to go to WovoCon. And part of that reason I think I was able to go to WovoCon is because of the scheduling of WovoCon this year. Dustin,
which was deliberate.
Yeah. Dustin listened to my note last year because I think it was a week after NAB. And this year they did it the same weekend of NAB. So it made a two-for-one trip totally possible, which was awesome because I got to be in Vegas the entire week. Drove up on Monday, did our show, which came off pretty well.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then made a trek over to my place, did the NAB show, walked the whole place for 2 days, walked about 22,000 steps, according to my phone. I had my buddy Mike Martin, who I will show you, if I show you this screen, there he is, there's Mike Martin. Mike was there along with me, and there's the WovoCon gang hanging out, having a good time at one of the restaurants. Mike was such a huge, huge help because he was my co-pilot and he was my camera operator throughout NAB. And he followed me around that place and did not complain once. I mean, we, again, put on some serious miles. but really, really helpful. I have a little story from Google. Google has a really cool feature where it assembles your images and videos. So it did it faster than I could. I came back at 12:30 last night exhausted. I didn't have time to put something together. But thanks to Google, there's some stuff to share here. So it's just sort of a slideshow with a couple clips. Here's a clip of me telling a really bad joke. Let's see if it plays back smoothly.
I don't know. I'm just seeing the same one.
It's kind of windy today, though. Some of the vendors are going to have a hard time, I think, with their tents. Should I go ask them if they're too tense?
Yes. Yes. Vendors like the amazing, some of the really cool vendors that distract you from what you really are there to see. Well, the first one you run into is GoPro. And GoPro has a ridiculous vehicle every year.
Oh my God.
So that's pretty much my reaction to the GoPro. The GoPro vehicle. And as you're walking around the show, there's all sorts of affectionately and sometimes controversially called booth babes. And this one was really cool because she was dressed up sort of like a robot. And she would go up on the stage there and beat on these drums and do a robot walk. Pretty funny. And the whole time you're going, what is she dressed up like that for? I think she was promoting a product from a company called Shape, and they make camera mounts. You wouldn't believe the investment these companies make to promote something that most of us will never ever need or hear of.
Sort of looks like Gene Simmons, actually.
Yeah. And that's Mike, my buddy, Mike Martin with me there, hanging out, having lunch. He brings his own lunch. It's awesome. We had hard-boiled eggs sitting outside NAB. It was awesome. He was great. He was like the ultimate road trip buddy. Really, he was. He carried my camera rig around. Got a lot of shots. Why is that video clip still hanging out in the corner? See if I can get it to go away. There we go. This thing. Okay, this is slightly on topic, but it's still really cool. I must show it. I'm noticing how it looks like Safari is making mincemeat of this webpage, but let's see if this will play back. If you ever wanted to see one of those J.L. Fisher studio booms up close,
mm-hmm.
This is what they use on the set of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
And other TV shows like sitcoms. This thing was freaking cool.
I mean, just to move the mic this way and that way, it has all these little
pulleys and cables and everything. And I'm sure with modern technology, it would probably be done with servo motors and things like that. But this thing is 100% mechanical.
Hmm.
It's the neatest thing ever. And I didn't get a chance to operate it because apparently somebody the day before, I think probably hit somebody with it. So they would not let us all try it out. But
we got to get one. That's definitely coming for the new studio.
Oh, we need one of those bad. That's going to blow the budget by probably about a factor of 10. But, you know, still. Then there's things like this. This is a radio control car that carries a video or actually a still camera, but it's set up for video. And this car can go 80 miles an hour with a camera on its roof. And they had it sitting there in a booth where you could sort of push around on it and play with it. You do need that for our VO studio, Steve. Yes, exactly. I'm telling you, there's so much at this show, and I know it's not all VO related, but you just can't help it. If you are into gadgets in any way, you have to go see this stuff. Okay, that video is not going to play, but that's okay. There's a lot more to see. I ran into a friend. She's a video producer, and now she's saying, hey, maybe you could teach us how to do a voiceover for my clients who work on all these documentaries with me. So you never know who you're going to network with at a show like
That's why you got to go to NAB.
It's incredible.
Next year, I'm going.
I think we should go next year together. We'll be able to do that and WovoCon. It's a really, really amazing show. 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts. I don't need to show you the video to get the idea that there was debris flying everywhere. And then let's move on to, let's jump on to WovoCon. Because NAB just goes on and on. There's just so much to do there. Oh, this is one weird thing. You can basically walk up to these booths for the big camera manufacturers, Ikigami, Canon, JVC. Ikigami makes the cameras you see in TV studios. I don't think they sell a camera that's less than $50,000, probably.
I remember those in my college studio.
Yeah, and so you can sit there and just operate these amazing cameras and shoot video of people sitting in these sets. It's the weirdest thing. They're living diorama model type things. They don't say anything. They're just there, so you have something to look at. Right. Mike was wearing a VR helmet, which cracked me up watching him use the VR helmet for the first time. There's a little bit more of this car. If this video will play, you'll get to see this little car. And I'm sorry, I know I'm geeking out here, guys, but this car was so freaking cool. Here it is. This thing embodies everything I love about technology. Radio control, electric motors, servos, cameras, the whole thing. And this was what's really cool. You can put your camera or your face up to this display, and now I'm steering the camera.
I'm looking at you.
How freaking cool is that?
Oh, jeez.
That's a display that I have my cell phone inside while I'm shooting video. And I'm able to steer the camera just by looking wherever the heck I want to go. It's just so cool.
Wow.
Yeah,
I are going to have a lot of fun in California when I get out there with radio control stuff.
Oh, heck yeah. Went to the Rock the Vault show thanks to Connie Breeze, who's a friend of mine now in Vegas. She's an on-air talent, and she gets all the hookups. So she took us to the Raid the Rock Vault show, me and a couple of friends. Dave. There's one of our fans, actually. Dave Smith, Captain VO. And that's his studio suit equipped booth, which sounded great. Really did.
Of course.
It worked great. Yeah, it really worked well. Got to go to Adrenaline Studios, and this was a really cool thing. I got to run into Larry Davis, who was just coming in to record a promo demo with Joyce Castellanos. I just happened to be there, and he got to record some drops for us.
I remember the very first time I heard of EWABS. I thought to myself, what a great show. People talking about VO and talking about things like microphones and levels and acting. What an amazing show. The only problem I have is the name. EWABS. It sounds like something you find underneath a Band-Aid after you... something you find after you peel off a Band-Aid. Other than that,
so we just riffed like that for like an hour, just making up stuff, coming up with funny ideas. It was a total blast. Adrenaline Studios, the guy that owns it, Matt Smith, he was just sitting there recording. This is off the clock, just for fun. He wouldn't charge us a dime just because he wanted to do something for our show. I mean, the cool people out there. Let's jump on a little bit. This is Dee Drenta's booth. It's a booth made by Scott Peterson. Really cool booth designer and builder here in LA area. And I installed all the acoustics and that corner shelf, which I had to modify on site. And Dan, I don't know if you saw the picture. I used the saw that you gave that your mom.
Oh, yes.
Your mom's husband. Past husband gave me this old Craftsman jigsaw, and I had it with me, and I was able to cut that wood with it. If I hadn't had that saw, I couldn't have done it.
That's why I gave it to you.
I was so happy I had that. But let's jump on to the setting for this place. There's the gym. Everybody knows when you see the gym. But look at the outside of this is the fitness center at this event. The fitness center looked like...
You were at Lake Las Vegas. That place is prime.
Wow. Seriously, prime, man. This location was unbelievable. It was really amazing. I was having a great time there. I mean, there were so many great folks, but this lineup of gentlemen, the bearded gentlemen, it looked like I was sitting in a barbershop quartet convention, sitting next to Rich Owen and a couple other gentlemen. It was really fun. You would have fit in there perfectly. Here's some shots of the one of the boardrooms. This is where we were meeting and talking about Pro Tools. And what was great was I expected to walk in and talk about Pro Tools with Steve Cunningham. And I thought it was going to be all about Pro Tools. Well, the first thing he does is, let me show you guys something called Reaper. So that cracked me up. but it was a really cool place. And Matt Kalrick had a great breakout session, which was totally like last minute. That was what was neat about it. They left space for the attendees to say, hey, I've got an idea for a session. Let's meet in this room. And then at lunchtime, you just stand up and say, I got an idea. It was really cool. It had a somewhat of a FAF camp or FAFCon feel to it, but it was just really, really well run. I can't say enough.
Dustin Ebon did a great job of putting that thing together this year.
And, really did.
And I really missed being there.
I know. We're trying to bring you the flavor of it. I'll have a lot. I have tons and tons of video, which obviously I haven't had time to edit. So I'll have more packages to share with you guys in the future. But that gives you a little taste of what was going on there, who the attendees were, what the spaces were like, and what the grounds look like. So I'm sure they'll have it there next year. I hope they do.
Cause... I just saw that picture of Marujuno, who I really missed seeing along with a lot of other people.
Jordan but Reynolds, anyway. Tons of folks. Really good time. And the last frame I'll show you guys is Dan looking like the Wizard of Oz behind the rest of the board members at the WoWo meeting. His screen was huge. It was great.
Yeah, and people are putting all that stuff on Facebook, and I'm like, my God, Jesus. I could have just put my eye up to it, and it would have been really cool.
When you held up the magnifying glass, that was awesome. It was so gigantic. But anyway.
And that's a look at the Ewabs News.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we've got a tip of the week, and then the amazing David Kay will be joining us. So stay tuned. We're here on East West Audio Body Shop. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
George and Dan, Ewabs. They make our lives so much easier.
Oh, crap. What's wrong now?
And we're back because stuff goes wrong. Or as George's favorite t-shirt says, I'm here because you broke something.
Yeah, it's your fault. That's what it should say on the back. It's your
fault.
That's
true. Yes. Well, if you happen to break something and you need like a new microphone or you break your mic stand or something, or you want to have something that's a lot easier to record on the road with, there's only one place you can go to get it. Quickly, inexpensively, and a great choice. And that is voiceoveressentials.com, where the amazing Harlan Hogan runs an online store for voiceover people. Not for plumbers, not for electricians, not for brain surgeons. Well, maybe for brain surgeons who want to do voiceover, but for voiceover people. He's got the best stuff there, the stuff that you need to have a personal voiceover studio at home or anywhere else for that matter.
So and, I'm showing them how to find the site right now.
Oh, okay. Just
scroll to the bottom.
You have to do is go to our website, and well, you should be at our website. Just scroll down to the bottom of the screen.
Click on the picture of Harlan with the porta booth.
Right next to VoiceOver Extra and the Home Studio, all our other sponsors. But just click in there, it'll take you right there.
You're in there.
And you can see all the amazing stuff that Harlan has over at voiceoveressentials.com. Great customer service. He's got the VO1A microphone, the headphones, the headphone holder, which apparently Jack DeGolia finds just absolutely amazing. And all the other things that you need to improve your voiceover career, like books. And it's backed up by one of the greatest guys in the voiceover business, Harlan Hogan. And all you got to do is go over there and make sure you click on our link in our thing, so you can go over there and he'll know that we are sending you there to voiceoveressentials.com to get all the best voiceover stuff there is on the face of this planet. Thanks, Harlan.
Thanks, Harlan. We really, really, really appreciate it.
We absolutely do. We got to give him a call. We haven't talked to him in a while.
I know. I agree. Yeah. Gotta check in with the man.
Maybe it's time for him to be on again.
Let's see what he's up to, man. Let's see what he's up to.
Anyway, as the hour rolls on here, David Kay will be with us in just a couple of minutes. But I had a couple of requests for people who record on iOS devices. Now, 2 years ago, I said in 2 years, everything's going to be done on an iPad. Well, 2 years later, maybe not. But if you do happen to record on the road using an iOS device, here's how you do it. When asked why or how I do things, my response is usually,
because I can.
So it goes with iOS recording. You know, using your iPad or iPhone or those great new Android-based tablets to record that 2-hour documentary. You know, it's breakthrough technology. The ability to do it is there. But do you have to? Let's review. It started rather inauspiciously. First, there were USB microphones. Then, the pocket-size interfaces. Then came the USB to 30-pin connector. Then the iOS dock, the Apogee mic, the Blue Digital Sparky. You know, George and I have been saying all along that it's just a matter of time until tablet-based recording becomes the norm. Originally, we said 2 years. 2 years ago. I think our thinking was actually fairly accurate based on the plethora of devices we now see on the market, which really should be the tipping point. We've got the Focusrite iTrack Solo, this very expensive Studio 6 digital audio interface too. Avid's now in the business with the Fastrack Duo and Solo iOS device. Alesis has a new thing called the Alesis IO Mix. Behringer has something similar with the iStudio. Apogee, which had a great thing with their One, now has an iOS version called the Apogee One iOS, and a larger thing for more complicated recording called the Quartet. Then there's the adult brother of the old iRig, the iRig Pro, which is a true digital interface. And now a device from Sentrance, who brought us the groundbreaking MicPort Pro, a new device due this spring called Mixerface, which is battery-powered. What people are looking for is something light to travel with. Again, we all know how I feel about recording on the road. If you're looking at a main full-time interface solution, any one of these will fill the bill. Which is best? Doesn't really matter. As far as I'm concerned, they all sound the same. If it's an on-the-road solution, just like for a home studio, keep it simple. On-the-road should be just for auditions and simple one-time recordings. Now, this is where the discussion degrades into geekdom and distances itself from what really matters, and that's simple one-track voiceover files. Just because you can doesn't mean you gotta. However, being able to answer auditions with the files you create is still an issue. For the most part, you still can't attach files directly in response to an incoming audition notice. Twisted Way gives you the ability to upload to a Dropbox or attach to a new email or even a text. Still kind of clunky for our needs, however. So the time to record and edit with these great tablet devices is finally here. But until it's as easy to do with your laptop or your desktop, you might just want to wait a little bit. And that's my tip of the week. And I still feel that way. So, you know, I mean, if I'm desperate and I have my iPhone, I know that I can just throw on Twisted Wave and plug in my Apogee mic, which has been beat all to heck. But it still works and still sounds fabulous. So you know, try these things. It's a great way to really keep it simple and show you how easy and how simple it is to really record digitally.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We got a question in the speak pipe.
Yeah. Here's one quick question.
All right. Here it comes.
Hi.
Let's try that again.
He has a reverb problem.
He has a reverb problem. Let's see if we can fix that. All right. Here we go.
Hi, this is Kurt Feldner. Is it possible to separate what would be clicks coming from the mouth versus the movement of the jaw? Can you identify those?
Yeah, I can because I get them all the time. There are the mouth noises. I use a spectrogram and I can see all these things. And you can hear them. There are different types of thuds. You know, there's the stuff, the mouth noises are clicks. Mm-hmm. And if it's your jaw, like if you have TMJ or something like that, some people can, you know, that you can hear an actual clicking and thud in there. The fact is if you use a spectrogram, you can take them both out and it's really easy to do. Seeing them in a waveform, not quite as easy, which is why I like Adobe Audition. And I think Isotope makes a spectrogram program as well. They're trying to put one in Audacity, but it sucks.
Yeah, it's not quite there yet. But Isotope RX is pretty nice. I mean, if you already have Adobe Audition, it can do a lot of what RX does. But if you're having to manually go through and declick a lot of stuff, RX might be helpful. I will say this, just based on the sample you sent us, and I don't expect it to be your recording studio's quality.
It was pretty good.
It was pretty clean. The one thing I noticed was that it sounded like you were very close to the mic, you were almost touching.
A little bit too close to the mic.
If you record your voice work that close to the mic, you're going to have even worse mouth noise problems because now the microphone's pointing right into your mouth, and it's like a magnifying glass for mouth noise. So I can definitely recommend working further from the mic, maybe shifting it off axis a little bit, to the side or whatever. That can help a lot.
All righty. Well, David Kay has been sitting by patiently or leaving the room every now and again, but who knows what he's doing. But he's going to talk to us in just a minute, and we're going to hear all about some of the great stuff that he's been up to. And we'll be right back after this message. So don't go away.
You're listening to East West Audio Body Shop.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, George has set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
Danny did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Back here on East West Audio Body Shop, and joining us from his marvelously maintained by George Whittam studio is the one and only David Kay. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, George.
Boy, does that sound fabulous.
No, don't make me red in the cheeks all right off the bat.
Okay.
Yeah, gee.
Anyway, Well, you are one accomplished guy. You've been doing, you know, promo and imaging work for all of these networks, and you're also doing a lot of character works in cartoons, and you got some other big gigs going on here too. But before we talk about all that stuff, tell us a little bit about how you got into this business and why it is you're doing so much better than the rest of us.
Well, I don't know. I have some great people behind me. I have agents and managers, and one of them is actually sitting behind me right now. He's in this week in Los Angeles for Worldwide Radio, the summit, right? Nate from CESD, and I've known Nate for years, and it's people like that. The team, I always say it's the team you have. And I guess for the first time in my entire life, the last 5 years, I'm completely happy that I have a phenomenal team of folks from agents, and they get you access to this stuff. And without them, you know, you don't have that access to the great, great material. And I thank them, and they're,
you're my heartbeat, Nate. He's my heartbeat.
But where are you from originally?
Originally, I started in the birth canal back in Canada in a little small town called Peterborough. We call it
Peterborough.
Peterborough on Terrible.
Well, you mean you started in the birth canal, but you only had a USB mic at the time.
I had a USB mic. It just wasn't. Yeah, it was, that's correct. But I used to listen to a very good friend of mine, Howard Hoffman, posted on LinkedIn today an article. Howard is a radio guy. I came from radio, and so I have these fond memories of, you know, when before there was you could listen to radio stations on the net. They were these big magical things that you used to hear on a cassette tape, and we used to send out tapes and try and get jobs. And I, from day one being in radio, I was horrible, but somebody gave me a shot. And I used to listen to these air checks, Art Volo. Remember Art Volo and those air checks from all these great stations like Cleveland, Detroit, and Chicago. I used to listen to WBZ Boston on overnight on the AM radio in my, you know, my bed.
Usually and hockey games and stuff like that.
Oh, well, it was, I don't think it was a guy at night. I remember writing to these guys, and they wrote back, and, and I wanted to be south of the border, because that's where the major markets were. And that's where, you know, I just wanted to be part of that. So my ancestry is American. So my mother says I'm the first one to go back across the 49th and pick up where they left off. So, I've always wanted to be here. And I'll tell you one reason why it was so great when I realized that, hey, wait a minute, I can order anything out of a comic book and I don't have to go through the whole rigmarole of sending cash money in the mail. I can get it because I live here. So I started ordering all these, you know, plastic soldiers and all the stuff I couldn't get in Canada. So I was really happy. But that's how it started. It was wanting to be in radio, wanting to be, you know, involved in a big station south of the border. That's where it all started, you know, for me, wanting to be there.
Yeah. And how long have you been in LA?
It's almost 10 years now. So time has gone fast. Best career move I made. I'm working with some amazing people every day, my voiceover heroes like Rob Paulson and Jim Cummings and Billy West these guys are, you know, Jess Harnell and to be able to be in the studio and work with them, John DiMaggio, you know, good friends of mine, and it's surreal to me because these are my idols and icons, and I get the chance to work with them in animation. So it's just the coolest thing.
Hey, would you tell us a little bit about, I got to give props to one of your past, you know, guys from your past and sort of your present too, Steve Sisk.
Steve Sisk,
can you tell us a little bit about how Steve was part of your, you know, your
the
process,
team.
Your team.
Yeah, back in the early 90s when I started
doing some work for radio stations and TV stations, or the voice work, and the website was set up. Steve was instrumental in beginning the whole process. I remember, you know, starting to get clients, radio clients and TV clients. We had reel to reel. We had to make the FedEx cutoff every day. And Steve would get in his car, and if it didn't make it at the 4 o'clock cutoff time in North Vancouver in Canada, he would literally get in his car and drive across the border to Blaine and make sure it got to its destination. Stuff like that. I mean, over and above. Steve did everything. We became very close friends and basically family. And it was the team of, you know, I couldn't manage all those stations and couldn't manage the growth or couldn't manage the technical part of it without Steve's help. There was just no way that would ever happen. So the David K Productions USA, you know, it was dependent on Steve to grow the company. And he was a major part of that. And he's just phenomenal, a great human being. And I can't say enough about Steve and all the stuff we've been through and the journeys we've taken and all the times he's taken down and put back up a whisper room. He has the broken bones and scars to prove it.
Yeah, I mean, he's still part of, and what's great is, you know, he's still part of the family, so to speak, because now Steve does on-demand studio maintenance for me and the Edge Studio company.
Yeah, so he's a great addition. No one like Steve.
I was so fortunate to find. I can't tell you how long I looked to find someone that has that kind of the vast knowledge from Mac level IT stuff to the knowledge of the business, everything in between. Yeah. Steve is fantastic.
Yeah. Self-taught too, man. He works hard.
Yeah. So what are some of the things you're working on right now? Now, I see here you've got a movie actually coming out there.
Yeah. It's the Ratchet and Clank franchise that started quite a while ago, Insomniac Games and Sony. And I was cast as Clank, the little robot.
He basically talks like this and does not, he doesn't say it's, he says it is.
And his partner, Ratchet, and they go through the galaxy and fighting all these creatures and these cool weapons. And I remember the first time the game came out, I didn't really play games, and I got hooked on this thing, and I stayed up all night long. 7 a.m., I defeated the monster, and I woke my wife up and said, Maria, I did it. What? I did what? I got to the end of the game. I beat the game. And she turned over and went back to bed. I just felt so good about it, but no one else cared. on games because of Ratchet and Clank and being cast in this. So fast forward to now, we've just completed, it's still in post-production, the Ratchet and Clank, the first movie. And that's released sometime, could be in the new year or before that. We're just waiting for North American distribution. The worldwide distribution is all set up, but we're just waiting a few more things that have to be put in place. But yeah, James Arnold Taylor plays Ratchet, myself as Clank.
Oh, wow.
And you've got a few celebrities in there as well, and cool names. You'll know, and what's his name? Armin Schimmelman, he was on Deep Space Nine.
He's
Quark, and he's of course Dr. Nefarious in this, and you know, he's so great. And Jim Ward is
Captain Quark, my favorite character.
I love Captain Quark. Yeah, and so that's on the big screen coming out soon. So hopefully, so.
Yeah. Now you're also doing this thing, the John Oliver Show.
Oh, yes.
What's that all about?
Well, it was one of these things where I read some promos. Jason Marks, Marks Talent is my manager, and they threw me some promos for an HBO show, and stuff comes through and you read it. And it was for Last Week Tonight. And, I finished on the promo, but I heard the promo and it wasn't me. And I know the voice. And I said, no, it's really good. That's not me though. So I emailed Jay. So, well, I guess, whatever. I said, thanks. It didn't happen. And then he called back and said, well, they want to know if you're interested in doing some of the stuff for the show. And I didn't really know what that was because I wasn't sure what the show is. And I just knew of him John Stewart. And so I started doing comedy bits, and then it just sort of kept growing. So they'd call me every week, Saturday morning or Sunday morning. We do a session. I do a session with New York here through ISDN. And the first couple of times I would be reading the script, and in the middle, I'd just start laughing. The stuff was hilariously funny, and it's turning into a juggernaut for HBO. It's 11 o'clock on Sunday nights. And so I do a lot of stuff like, for centuries, humanity's placed the blame for one of its greatest calamities squarely at the feet of the common rat. And we do a big thing about rats and gerbils. And we do it. Now, news people asking themselves questions. You know, it's just stuff for, you know, in-show comedy, and it's just an honor to work with them. And I was there in New York almost a month ago now and met John and met Ari Fishman, the head writer, and one of the guys there. And it's such a great show. It's an important show, and John is really clever in the way that show is done.
Why is this still a thing?
Why is this still a thing? Yeah, there's a one on the website. That's one of your favorites, wasn't it, about time change?
Yes.
Yes, you lost an hour of sleep last night thanks to Kaiser Wilhelm. That was one of the classics, and I get great to swear, word. Too, which is great. I mean, the Radio Shack went bankrupt, and I get to say all kinds of bad words, and it's cathartic.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how much stuff do you actually do out of your home studio, and how much are you going to other studios, or are you capable of doing all the stuff that you do from there?
I'm capable of doing everything from here, but I would go nuts if I didn't get out. I mean, this morning I was in here at 7 a.m. with Toronto doing a session, and then the UK at 9 o'clock, and then I didn't get out of my pajamas until 10:30, 11 o'clock. Now, it sounds all romantic and cool, but like I got to get out. So some days are like that. I can do things from here, but there are days like cartoons, we usually do a studio. And the cool thing about being in Toluca Lake is like Salami is just like 2 minutes, like literally in the car, 2 minutes that way. Listen to us in LA driving everywhere. It takes 2 minutes. We could walk, but now we got to take the car. And Warner Brothers is over here. The ranch is behind me and, you know, 7 minutes, I'm in a lot. So it's great. And I like to go and be within cartoons and be with your buddies and do a show. It's just the greatest gift. I love everything I do. And I'm kind of all over the map every day, from trailers to promos, to reading, you know, for cartoons and video games. And the most fun is, you know, all the guys and girls will tell you, is being in a room with your peers and goofing around for 3-4 hours. It's just, it's a riot, and it's a privilege. And we're very, very fortunate to be able to do that.
Yeah,
I have a ton of fun doing that, doing characters.
Yeah, I think it's probably more fun in this business. There's nothing more fun than working with other people.
Oh yeah, you feed off each other.
Yeah, when you're sitting alone in a studio all this time, it gets kind of like
Well, that's the thing, when you can being alone with yourself, you come up with all kinds of cool voices. No one thinks you're an idiot.
I sort of talk like this all the time, and hey, no one's listening, no one's paying attention. It's just me.
You know, you just out with stuff.
That's a very good Bob Bergen, by the way.
That's Bob Bergen. And
it's my Rob Paulson. I'm here with David Kay. Of course, I was Yakko. I'm on the tower to Warner Brothers.
We do each other.
In this context, that's okay to say.
In this context, in other contexts, that's a different friend. I have a different friend for that.
we compartmentalize those.
Yes, we do.
Those friendships.
Yeah. Oh, now I see here that you've also been doing an audiobook.
Oh, yeah. I got to plug that, because it's called The Cat's Maw. There is a piece, I believe, on Facebook and on the davidk.com website. Brooke Burgess won countless awards for an online novel called Broken Saints. It gained worldwide recognition back in the 90s. And I've known Brooke. I did a theater with him a while ago, and he's just he's brilliant. And he's been over in Thailand house sitting and learning to kickbox and writing. He is in a hut at some, you know, sometimes, and in this paradise writing these books. And he has a series of them coming out, and it's called The Cat's Maw. And he approached me about the audiobook. I'd done a few before for Star Trek and a few of those, you know, short Star Trek stories. And I remember sitting in a room for like 4 hours, 8 hours a day, and went, yeah, this is fun, but whew, yeah, it's a long time to sit there. And there are people who are really good at this. And I was a real rookie at that time, but I've since, you know, had time to work on whatever I need to work on. And I think I'm kind of ready for an audiobook. And I said yes to him. He offered me the gig, and I said yes. And then I realized after we hung up Skype, I went to bed and I couldn't sleep for 2 or 3 hours, because I realized that, oh my God, I got to So I have to read the book.
What have you gotten yourself into, my
friend? Then I got to read it again when I do it. And then it's going to take how so? I'm thinking like, and I, literally 3 hours I'm awake going, okay, so it'll be done by, okay, next month, middle of it, you know. And so I got kind of nervous, like, oh my God, because you got to do all the characters. You have to find a narrative voice, which is storyteller voice. And then you have to, if the boy's mother speaks, you have to give her a bit of a rhythm to her voice. And there's all these characters to come in and out. You have to find the voice of this ghost character and this cat, this ghost character, the voice of the tiger. And they all have to be slightly different, but you can't, you have to really, it's a lot of focus. And each chapter is, you know, up to 25 pages, whatever they are. And so I went into it kind of scared and nervous. And then, as we got going, I really started to enjoy it. I turned all the lights down in here, which, George, you know, this studio is perfect for that because we do it at night. Yeah, it's like all lights are nice, low lighting. I sat here and I read off the screen, and Brooke was on the other side of the screen here on Skype. And so every time I would screw up, he'd you know, make a wave and I'd stop. We'd pick it up. But that's how we did the audiobook. And there's a piece, they've released a trailer, a bit of a thing, and it's Tobias Tinker's doing all the music and sweetening and stuff, and it just sounds phenomenal. But Brooke is an amazing writer. He's got a lot of great reviews from all over already, and I'm just real proud to be a part of the project. So
is it Maw, like M-A-W?
M-A-W, yeah, the cat's Maw, like in the Maw, in the mouth. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of a Harry Potter type with cats and spooky, and it's a neat story. I really enjoy it. I enjoyed it.
There it is. I'm showing a picture of it on Amazon right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there it is. You can order the book and highly recommend it.
Buy the book.
Yeah.
And give it a good listen. I think it's important that if you're going to do an audio book, that it be really well produced.
It has to be.
You know, put music with it and really make it an entire package.
Yeah, because you have to take the listener out of their, you know, they want to be taken out of right. what's going on and be focused on that story. And that's what movies and television and audiobooks are important. Now they need to have that production value, I think. It's a visual thing. I love that. That's why I love radio plays. I love those old radio shows. I'll sit up on the deck upstairs at night, have a cigar and a bourbon, listen to music from 1942 played by Glenn Miller, because it puts me in a mood and thinking, I wonder what it was like around Toluca Lake back in the day when, you know, when they were all the Rat Pack was here, and what music were they listening to? And it puts you in a mood. And that's what audiobooks and theater of the mind and cartoons, they put you, take you away and put you there. That's what I love about it.
Absolutely. Now, if you got any questions for David, we have a vast audience that is tuned in tonight to hear what you have to say. If you've got any questions, throw them into the chat room, and our marvelous chat room monitor, Anthony, will be getting those to us.
Anthony, who flew overnight on a red eye from Las Vegas.
Yeah, so he's not actually awake.
Yeah.
So
he's a little spaced out.
Yeah. But anyway, This is interesting. You're going to be at a Little Rock Comic Con in Little Rock, Arkansas on May 15th.
Yes.
And a weekend in San Antonio, August 8th. And for Texas Comic Con and at Saskatoon Blitz in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, June 13th and 14th. I take it you're just moving back and forth in time there.
Yeah, I feel like, so, I kind of feel like Pauly Shore. I'm doing all these going all over the place doing. I'm doing a...
Yeah, we're going to be appearing at Rick's Comedy Lounge and Bar at the bowling alley. But it's a chance for me to meet the fans, because, of course, without the cons, without those things and the fans enjoying the shows, there's none of us. So I always like giving back that way. If I'm able to get away and get to a convention, and mostly if I haven't been and visited that place before, I'll sometimes say yes to go. If I've been there, sometimes like, you know, In Little Rock, I have a good friend who lives, she's from Little Rock, and so there's a couple of people I actually know there, but I've never been to Arkansas, so we're going to go to Arkansas. There's some great people, Transformer fans out there that I'm looking forward to meeting, and vice versa. And then the other one's, was it August? August 8th weekend.
San Antonio. You ever been to San Antonio?
I've never been to San Antonio.
Oh, San Antonio is cool.
Yeah, that's what everybody says, and I can't wait to go there and visit. So, you know, I look forward to meeting everyone and you know, doing the autograph stuff and doing panels. But also, when I go to a city, I tend to bolt and go find those cool restaurants on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I got to hit a couple of those places when I go, and just to, you know, be with the locals and taste the food. And I'm kind of that kind of person. I get out of the hotel.
Oh yeah, you absolutely have to get the heck out of the Dodge once in a while. Or I mean, you got to get the flavor of the city where you are, man.
Yeah, I want to know where I am. I'll go for a run. You know, is another big thing too, just to see where I am on the ground. This is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, okay. Well, if anybody's got a question for David, why not put it in the chat room? I know we've got a couple coming in here, and we'll get to those with David K. right after this upcoming message from our friends at VoiceOver Extra.
Hey, this is Roger Leopardi, and you're watching East West Audio Body Shop.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East West Audio Body Shop with George Winham on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East.
Yeah, and we're tightening that string just a little tighter tonight. Our guest tonight is David Kay, who is doing everything. Everything that there is that could be done in audio and film and TV, he's doing it. He is living the dream. And he's telling us about it tonight here on East West Audio Body Shop. We got a couple of great questions from our audience. And I think this is the one I think everybody who tunes into the show wants to know, because they want to know, what is your voiceover chain? What is your audio chain in there? Your mic, your processing, the digital audio workstation you use in detail. Or does George have to explain it?
It's a very secret, very, very secret.
Let's see. I've had this gear for a long time. The mic is a Neumann U67 tube condenser. How old are these now, George? This is like 40, 50. What are they?
Yeah. I mean, they stopped making them. They made them in the early 60s, and I think they stopped before the 70s.
Okay. So that's that. I have another one that I use as backup, but they're never the same. I mean, they're always slightly different, you know, the same. These mics were always great for the baritone saxophone, you know, that really picked up that, whatever they call that thing.
Resonance, whatever.
Resonance. Thank you. Thank you. And what else do I have, George? I have the Neve 1066 preamp, which has been real clean. I don't use anything through that. I go through that, correct? Is that the LA-3A Uri Hollywood limiter compressor, the original? Which is that's the chain. It's an old chain, and I on my road kit I have the Sennheiser 416 standard shotgun mic, and I have a computer and the Apogee One, and that's what I use on the road. And I don't do anything. I just have to find a little space, and it sounds fine. It works absolutely great. It's clean, but there's something about this setup here. I always just feel at home here. Yeah. And it's this old gear that I just love. And we thought about selling it at one point. I have a couple of extras here that we talked about that, but I'm just,
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I know we were talking about it. I think we even listed it for sale at one point.
We did.
And then I think maybe you landed some pretty good campaign. And you're like, maybe I'll keep it after all.
Keep the mic.
I mean, I was walking around the NAB, and, you know, you're always end up talking to a mic company. And, yeah, you could get away with this mic. This mic works great, too. There's a lot of mics that are under $1,000 that work great. Yeah. But there is something ethereal, esoteric, whatever it is, about how a mic makes you feel. And
doesn't make you read any better.
It doesn't make you read any better.
Interesting question about the reading, because with this mic, I always work with one headphone on, one off, and mostly if I'm doing cartoons, I have two headphones off. I don't want to hear me. But a lot of times I work with one on and one off. Well, I don't know why, it just seems to. I kind of like that. It's always a left ear's on, because I need to hear what I'm sounding like. I don't want to hear my voice, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And this thing, there was a trailer cam thing for the UK this morning, for example. And it's not trailer, it's an actory thing. So I have to step off that actor, or step off the promo, the trailer voice, and actually really pull back. And this thing, if I'm too close, it's, you know, it can get too close, but for specific things it's fine. But right about this sweet spot here, I just kind of drop out and start talking, and, you know, being actor or whatever, just throwing lines out there, like, I don't, alone at night, I was on a boardwalk, and, you know, just mumbling this damn thing. You can hear you can hear if the acting beats are there. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but this will tell you if you're starting to announce out, if you're getting back into I don't know what it is, but I can tell with this mic, as where any other mic, I have trouble finding that spot, but I can drop out of announcer or promo mode or station ID mode and drop into actor mode real quick with this thing, because I can hear if I'm pushing. Because you don't need to do anything. You just need to kind of mumble and do, you know, I can hear when I'm pushing with this mic in particular. Mm. I don't know if that's a thing or what, but for me,
no, it's totally legit, because it's a very sensitive mic, and it's here. It's really capturing you as you exist, and you're very
sensitive.
And
that's really important in that trailer world, or in that narrative world, or in that storyteller world, and in the audiobook, is to, you need to step off that and just be, just, you know, relate the story and not mm-hmm. push too hard.
Right.
So this thing, I have a real love affair with this damn thing.
Yeah. Devox asks, do you sit or stand when you record?
I stand a lot. I'm in any of an animation. In Scooby-Doo, everybody sits. Frank Welker sits. And they all sit. And I always think, well, I should do it. Frank does, because he's Frank Welker. But I can't sit, because I tried it once. And I just get, you know, for audiobooks, I even, as long as the diaphragm's up and I'm up, I can kind of lean in and keep, you know, myself up and look at the screen. But if I start, you know, hunching down, I just lose the air. But I always stand. I'm the only one in Scooby-Doo, when I've done a few of those episodes, standing. It's all these seated people and then me. And they always have to come in and adjust the mic. But I just find I'm more free when I stand. It goes back to, when I used to be in radio, everybody used to sit, and I hated it, because all the American jocks, all this cool jocks, used to stand at the console, and they were standing up, and I thought, oh, I want to do that. That's cool. So that's where that came from. And now I can't go back to sitting anymore. I'm just used to standing up.
Yeah.
All right. Although it's one more thing about the gear. So yeah, that's the chain. And then it goes into a cool little mixing console, which happens to be the exact same one that my hand is touching on my left hand right now. It's a Allen & Heath XB10. And this is a cool little board, because it looks like a Mackie board, but on the inside, it's the quality of a broadcast board.
And it's amazing. I loved it. It was hard, because I'd had Mackies for how many years, George? It was probably time. 20 years.
Yeah. And I thought, I don't know. Change.
And then this thing came in, and I was like, wow, this is clean. It just sounds great. No issues.
It's built really well, and it's still affordable. It's not like a several thousand dollar. You know, it's a under $1,000 board, and it's small. It doesn't take up a huge amount of real estate like most broadcast boards.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and another question he has is: do you do anything unusual in your voice preparation for performance?
It depends how I'm feeling that day. And there's one thing, I've had issues in the past where my resonance would be lost, especially later in the day. That could be to do with post-nasal or whatever it is. I have a great ear, nose, and throat guy I go to, Dr. Line here in Burbank. And he said, well, you know, what do you do? I said, well, I literally have to stop. I get so frustrated. I have to stop and I have to go and lay down and nap. He goes, well, why don't you, every time you feel that way, go nap for a half an hour. And I'm a big fan of sleep. I thought, perfect. So if I feel that way, I stop and I go and I literally lay down and try and nap for half an hour, 15, 20 minutes, whatever. And it seems to relax the vocal cords and the neck muscles, because you get all tight because you're trying to, come on. And then, you come back and then the resonance back. My favorite time to work, I'm not a morning person, but I don't mind getting up. But my favorite time to work is in the morning, because everything's nice and loose. You're rested and it just sounds, and this mic picks up that resonance and it's just easier to work. Later in the day, going all day long, things start to get a little tighter and you lose your resonance and you're kind of clearing your throat, which you shouldn't, but it's relaxing this. And massage once a week. I have to, I have a girl that's amazing, and she does all this area here in the cheeks, and so you'd be surprised in how painful and how tight these muscles around the jaw get, because we're doing this all day, and you know what I'm talking about. It's just you're tight. And once a week, I have to do that, because that seems to keep me, you know, keep the muscles loose and resonant. But that's about it.
All righty. Let's see here. Amy, the real Amy Fisher asks, who are your voiceover heroes? I think you've mentioned a few names so far.
Dawes Butler, and of course Mel Blanc for cartoons, obviously. I'm, of course, a big fan of my peers, like I said before, DiMaggio and Paulson, and Billy West, a big fan, Jess Harnell, Jimmy Cummings. Those guys are idols of mine. In the promo world, I made a phone call way back in the 80s. And I, because I'd sent away for Danny Dark's cassettes, because I used to hear his voice on NBC and think, I want to do that. Dad, on NBC, it's an all new Elf, you know. And I thought, oh, that'd be cool. So I actually called a number. I was in doing country radio in near Detroit. And I called the phone number and Danny answered the phone. It was an advertisement in some advertisement, something. And he talked to me for about 15, 20 minutes. And I had his cassettes and I still have them. They're the first ever demo that I wanted to hear. He was a big hero. And I wanted to do what Danny Dark did. And so that was my, you know, I wanted to do promos. In trailers, it was Donna Fontaine, of course. There's some great guys doing it now. And, you know, Ashton and man, I mean, they're so good at what they do. But Don was the one. We did a workshop in Vancouver a number of years ago. And it was a year before he passed. And I did a sort of workshop on, I don't know, it was commercial promo. He did trailers and we had some of the pros up there. And we had a glorious weekend with Don. We had things all planned. We had him for the house at dinner. He regaled us with stories about Orson Welles and having him come in and do a trailer for Star Trek. And it was just, I was in awe. Lovely man, great stories. And of course, somebody in the class said, okay, let's just get it out of the way right off the top. Can you say in a world, of course, in a world, you know, he did, and everyone like, oh my God. You know, and so I came down, I was a little depressed and I was commuting at the time and I was at his house, dropped off something for him. He said, everything okay? And I said, yeah, I'm all right. Fine. He said, all right, come on in. Let's talk about it. So I went down to his studio and we sat there for a minute. He said, what's up? I said, well, I think I got to move here because, I mean, I'm missing my family, but I got to be here and my career. And he said, well, you go back home to your kids and you got to tell your wife and that daddy's got to do what daddy's got to do and you got to move down here. So I thought, daddy's going to do that. So I did. And the rest is history. So he's a big mentor of mine. So, I mean, there's tons, and I have so much respect for the art, and I don't like to see the industry watered down. It's one of my beasts. I want it to be difficult. It should take a long time. It should be hard to do. You know, there's a reason, right? Especially when you get into trailers, it's so hard to do that. There's phrasing and things. There is a right way and a wrong way to do that, and it takes a long time, and I believe in it should be difficult. There's the pioneers and these guys that are so great at it. It's amazing.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Go ahead, George.
Oh, no. Okay. I'll read the next one. Yeah, sure.
Steve, you get the next one. It's a tech question.
Oh, okay. Okay. Steve Tardio, back out in New York, says, what's Dave's opinion of ISDN? What do his clients think of ISDN?
It's fine. I've done... this morning was so easy. The UK is in London. It's like 9 a.m. here, 6 o'clock there, I guess it is. And boom, boom, there they are. I haven't had too many issues. The issue is now, of course, I had to get a new box and you're like, what's it, $5,000? And then it might be going away because there's like one guy here in Toluca Lake or North Hollywood, I think, that services ISDN. That's the issue where I'm worried about, oh man, So if I have a problem, but I also have Source Connect, so there's a backup. And I'm doing a series right now for Smithsonian Channel, and it's called Boomtowners, and that's all done through Source Connect. You know, so that works too. They have a clean, if you have a clean connection, it's great. I think we're moving into, maybe George, you can back me up on this, and we're moving in toward that it's becoming old technology now, and it might be kind of, you know, we have to be prepared for its eventual demise. But I've never had any trouble with it, and I it's easy. So
it is easy. I mean, that's the thing. I can understand why studios and the talent alike like just having it. It's like having a phone, an old fashioned phone. Answer the call, hang it up. That's how that's how easy it is to do an ISDN session once the equipment's set up. It just works that easily. Yeah. So it's an adjustment for everybody, and especially the studios who are reluctant to let it go. But having Source Connect as a backup obviously is key. There's some other ones out there like IPDTL and Source Connect now that are, you know, making their way in. But Source Connect is definitely the big secondary. Yeah. And I think someday ISDN will be the backup for Source Connect.
Yeah, it's very possible.
As it gets more use, ISDN getting more expensive per session, it's going to probably shift.
Yeah. I actually did a session today using Zoom.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, believe it or not, it's a great platform we've got here.
It is a good platform. This is like Skype, but without a lot of the Skype issues. We love it.
Lots of people on it. Tremaine Mosley asks, was there ever a gig that you beat out a buddy or vice versa? Who was it and what was the gig?
Actually,
what, every week?
This is a great story. This is a great story, and I actually feel bad about it. But there's a trailer running now. It's a Dr. Pepper Avengers Age of Ultron trailer. It's a commercial/trailer that's on the air. And I show up at the audition, and there is, I talked to you, George. He's all the Disney trailers.
He was one of the five guys in the limo, right?
Yeah, I'm having a mental block. This is terrible. Because I walked in and I'm like, hey, come on. Please, quickly, someone. Because he is...
They're 30 seconds behind us, don't worry.
It's on my Facebook. One second. It's coming. It's coming. Isn't this terrible? I can't remember.
I can hear his voice. I can see him in the trailer. I can see him in the car. No,
one second. Here. One second. It's coming. Here it is. Blah, blah. Come on. Right. Here we go. Here we go. There it is. Mark Elliott.
Yes.
I walked in there, and he, just a mental block, but this is one of these guys where I walked up. Oh my, you're Mark. I'm no one. I'm like on the floor bowing. And so I get there and go, what am I doing here? I got Mark Elliott and somebody else. I mean, all these guys. And I ended up booking the gig. So I thought, okay, all right. I won't say anything. I won't. But I was just so honored to be. I'm honored to be in the room with these people because they're my heroes. But that's the latest. There's been a bunch of stuff like that. But everybody in that, you know, will book something and so you won't, and it just, that's just the cycle of stuff and how it goes. But I was kind of thrilled about that. But you're running against your heroes all the time. That's when you're in Los Angeles, and that's what happens.
Yeah, really. Yeah. I mean, this one's a mic-related question. I don't know if you'll have the answer the answer.
We can work around this one, George.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a way we can approach this, but go ahead with it.
But Reen asks, David, what is the best mic for mid to lower range female voices for doing audiobooks and character animation work? Is it the Neumann TLM 103? So, I know the mics that you use, but I don't know if you have any female talent that you've worked with that, you've seen them use a certain mic.
I know, you female talent that like mics, female talent mics. Did they mention, talk about mics at all? I mean, the TLM is a great mic. I mean, for nourishing clean female voices. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
Whoever's doing the Audible, I don't know what they're using. But it's all, I don't know what that is. I really don't know. But TLM's been great.
Yeah, it's a nice quiet mic that just really captures what's there and doesn't color it at all.
Yeah, that's why it's so. I think it's great. Actually, yeah.
You can't go wrong with a mostly colorless microphone. I think doing audiobooks. If you know your equipment and your voice really well, you can start shopping around and have some fun looking for mics. But if you just want something that you can put it up and just feel confident, TLM-103 pretty much can't go too wrong with that mic.
I got to. I'm going to take one more question, then I have to bolt here.
We have one more. That's perfect.
We have an actual question here from Samuel Fleming, who says, have you found your agents to get you most of your work, or have you booked most of your jobs on your own? I take it you're all agent work these days.
The team, I'm going to say again, like I said off the top, is really important. I mean, I have booked stuff on my own just because I've been around for so freaking long. I mean, you know, people someday, hey, let's get David Kay. He's old. but really it's the team of people you have working for you. And that's really important that you need access to the great material, and a lot of the great agents get access to that material first sometimes. And it's a personal fit. Not everybody's going to like, you know, DPN or Buchwald, who I'm with or whatever. But it's a fit. If you find your fit in your team and the people you really like, I mean, I love all the folks I work with and Nate at CESD and the folks in New York. I can't thank them enough. Because that's that thing. You need to find your crew. And that's really important because they get you access to it. And in a relationship, it's really important to maintain that relationship. Because they're working hard. They work long hours and they work real hard. It's important, you know, take them out for dinner and to show your appreciation and support, because they deal with a lot of people, a lot of talent, a lot of clients. They're not just dealing with talent. They're dealing with clients, you know, so you need to find a real good fit. And that's my advice.
And that's good advice indeed. David, we know you got to run, but we really, really, really appreciate you coming on our show tonight.
No problems. Fun.
Giving us a little bit of insight into, you know, what that world is like, really, you know, running up and down Burbank Boulevard and then going down to Riverside and then, you know, all those other streets, just making your way across the valley.
Yeah, that's
like fun times. I'm moving down there, so we'll be neighbors. That's going to be
excellent. Good. Excellent.
All right.
Have fun at the radio conference.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, George. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks
for being with us
today. All the best. You got it.
All righty. Okay, David Kay joining us here in East West Audio Body Shop. That was great. The guy just knows his stuff because he's doing it every day.
Yeah, exactly.
that's a guy that's doing it.
And, yeah. You know,
I want to have a longer talk with him when I'm living around the corner from him.
Yeah, I get so I when I'm working with a client like David, you know, he's been doing this a long time. You know, when he said it should be hard, I guess I get that. You know, and we as the technical advisors and the coaches, and we want to kind of make you think that it's maybe not going to be that hard, that, you know, we don't want to discourage people, but it's true. Everybody I know that is at that level with David is at least in their 40s. In almost all cases, they've been hammering at this for a long time. And it is hard. It just is. It's a hard business.
Yeah. And the fact is, but he works a lot and he works hard at what he does because, you know, as he says, he's up at 7:30. He's got to do something with somebody in London. And then just imagine what something like that is like. It sounds glamorous. It pays glamorous, but it's a lot of hard work.
It's a grind. It's really a grind. Just being in one space for 8-10 hours a day sometimes is a grind. So thanks. Right. That was great. That was really good.
Yeah, it was. All righty. Well, we have there was part of this question that we got here about a Mac Mini that we figured we'd answer here.
I can suss it out pretty quick.
Yeah, let's see here. Nate Carlson asks, I have a Mac Mini, like George and I do, in my personal studio connected to two monitors, just like I do. One in the booth and one on a deck outside the booth split through a powered USB hub. I'm not quite getting exactly what that's about.
We'll get
about.
Into that, yeah.
Okay. Once in a while, one of the monitors turns to snow as if it isn't getting any signal. I have found that unplugging the HDMI cable from the that might be part of the problem, is you're trying to shove an HDMI cable into a USB hub. And of course it's going to turn into snow. And plugging it in always restores the monitor to perfect working order.
Yeah.
It's usually only a problem on one of the monitors at a time. I've never had both of them malfunction at the same time. In addition, occasionally the screen turns black for a few seconds on other random times, but then comes back without me doing anything.
Yeah.
All the connections are snugly attached at both ends, and there are no power problems. All other aspects of the studio seem to be working without a hitch. Lots of detail here. What might be going wrong, and is there anything I can do to prevent this?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't upgraded to Yosemite yet and will not until I hear George and Dan singing its praises.
Yes, yeah, so you need to hear both of us singing
in the key of G.
Yeah. I mean, it helps to have it helps that I've actually was the one that set all that gear up. So I have a pretty good idea of what's going on there. But one of the things we had to do in his studio, in order to be able to hook two monitors up to a Mac Mini and use a Thunderbolt audio device, is we had to use a USB to HDMI adapter.
Ah.
So we have this little dongle USB into video. And, you know, those generally work pretty well, but they're not perfect. You know, sometimes they have issues. And because in his case as well, that video signal is now running down a 20-foot long video cable, I think it is. It just happened to be that the port where the cables come out of the booth is on the wrong side. So we had to run them all the way across and around to get back to the desk. So it's a long cable run, which is challenging. And it's being used with an HDMI adapter to USB. So there's two things there that can be cause an issue. I wish I had a real solid, like, this is the problem. But it's kind of that combination. And what's weird is that, you know, obviously the day we hooked it up, it was fine. And it's probably been fine for some time. And it's starting to give you trouble. I would start with swapping out the USB, the HDMI cable. You live real close to Monoprice, I happen to know. Go grab a 25-foot HDMI cable from Monoprice for whatever they are, $20. That would be the first thing I would try because they're not that expensive. Then I would probably try swapping out the USB to video adapter, which can be found for under $100, probably $60, $80, something like that. And kind of work your way up.
Yeah, I found that, you know, because I know what he's talking about, because that happens here occasionally. Like you'll hit the wrong key or you'll tap your monitor and all of a sudden it goes black, comes back on, goes black, comes back on, goes black. And I'm like, okay. And I reach behind and I shove the HDMI cable harder into the monitor and it seems to go away until it happens next time.
Right.
But it very rarely do you see a Mac go snowy on you.
Snow is weird. And anytime I've seen snow like that, it's usually because of a long cable. Yeah. A long cable can be really wonky. When we set up the Don LaFontaine lab, we were having all kinds of problems because of the length of cables running through the ceiling from here to there into that room. And it was quite hard to deal with. You know, worst case scenario, we have to get what's called an HDMI extender. Or an HDMI active extender is what they're called. And it actually plugs into the wall and it has power. And it gives you that extra power to push the signal over a longer distance. That would maybe be the worst case scenario because those things are expensive. Yeah. They cost more than the monitor and the cable probably together.
Yeah. I've got about a 12-foot run here with my HDMI cables.
Yeah.
No problems. Never a problem. Yeah, I was able to run this whole session today on Zoom. And had it all in front of me and back there, and it was great.
Short cables, when it comes to digital stuff, short cables are your friend. Shorter the USB, short HDMI. Whenever it's possible, go short as you can. I know in his case, it's going to be logistically challenging, so you might have to look into some solutions.
All right. Oh, and are we singing Yosemite's praises yet? Cripes, I've been on it for a year now. It's working.
Well, you know, across the world of studios that I talk to, the guys that use this stuff in the real world and do production, a lot of them are not so happy right now. There was a new update, though, right? 10.10.3?
Yeah, last week, I think.
Did you install that?
I install everything when it comes out. I love it. I don't have these problems.
He just doesn't have problems.
That's
Plus, you have four computers, so if one goes funky, you just plug another one in.
That's right.
Which, and you know, the moral of that story is have a backup.
Right. I'd say one, two, three. Yeah, I got three or four backups.
Well, I have Yosemite on my MacBook Air, and in general, it's pretty good. If you go into the activity monitor, there's always two or three things that are not responding. I have no idea why. I've researched it. It always comes back, but the thing seems to run okay. I have Mojave. No, what's the other one? Before Mavericks.
Mavericks,
on my my desk workstation here for the show. And I'm nervous to upgrade that because gosh, there are so many pieces in this studio hooked to that Mac, and I have a 12 port USB hub on it. I'm using every input and output on that machine. I just don't want to have any chance of something going wrong. I'm sticking with what works. This thing, I walk in every week, I fire it up 20-30 minutes before we go live, and it almost always performs great, so I'm not going to mess with what works.
All right.
Anyway, so does that mean it's time for...
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
All right. Upcoming shows. Our crack producer, Catherine, has been busy trying to line up some great people to have on our show. People like David Kay, who is amazing.
Man.
Yeah, guy taking time out of his busy schedule to speak with us. Next week, we have another busy guy and his busy significant other. One of our favorite people, a guy that is just incredibly talented and a fun guy to be around, Larry Davis and his significant other, Elizabeth Stewart. They married yet? They keep talking about it.
Hollywood.
We were talking about the first time they were on the show.
A Hollywood that was marriage.
3 years ago.
Yeah, Hollywood marriage. You just live together and work together. And, you know, well, someday, anyway, I guess
maybe,
we're married.
Maybe. But I keep running into him in Vegas every time I'm there. But
so did I. I ran into him.
I know you ran into him in Vegas.
It's he was like, at WoboCon.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, but, you know, if you'll probably know Larry because he does a lot of our bumpers, mostly where he sounds a little bit like Morgan Freeman. No, actually, he sounds more like Morgan Freeman than Morgan Freeman does. He always has great stories about, you know, some of his adventures in the voiceover business. And when Elizabeth is with him, they ad lib a lot together.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of fun. So that'll be great having them on next week. On May 4th, Roger Leopardi's brother, Eric Leopardi, will be joining us. Now, what's this ISDN to go thing all about?
Yeah. So he started his own ISDN bridge. So he has a couple ISDN boxes. He's got the computers hooked up to them, and you can connect to him with whatever service you have, Source Connect Now, IPDTL, Source Connect, et cetera. And that's what he's doing. So he created his own bridge. And I think what makes it different from the other ones is just he's gone with a subscription model. So it's, for some of you, it might be a really good deal. Well, we'll be hearing all about how he put it together, what maybe makes it different from the others, if anything. And I'm looking forward to hearing it. It should be somewhat technical and somewhat educational, too.
All right. And on May 11th, Rachel Butera will be with us. She's an Edge Studio coach and voice actor, and she's a stand-up comic, which is always fun because we can have some good times with that.
Oh, yeah. get ready to laugh and get ready, you know, have a thick skin, guys. She's funny and she takes the gloves off. She is she's an incredible mimic or voice matcher, whatever you'd like to call it. I'm really, really talented.
Cool. All righty. Well, that's coming up on May 11th. So, and if there's anybody you'd like to see on the show, let us know. Write to us at eubshop@gmail.com. And of course, if you have a question, if you have a technical question, because that's why George and I are here, write to us at that same address, eubshop@gmail.com. And we'll get that question on. We'll ask you first. You know, it might be something personal, but we're like, you mind if we tell you, you know, to ask this question on the show? Nobody has refused yet.
There's also that speak pipe, as you heard one of the questions that came in tonight. There's a speak pipe thing on our homepage. Pops out of the side. You can send a question in by voice.
Yeah.
We'll take it any way you give it.
Just fell off.
What?
Yeah, well, you know, cheap tape. Anyway, thanks to our donors of the week. Eric Aragone. I know it's Sunday because Eric Aragone makes a donation. Mm-hmm. The real Amy Fisher, Shelley Avellino, voiceovers, Diana Birdsall, Amy Sorenzi. Anybody else this week? You know, I see them all the time. Guys, we really, really appreciate it. It's going to make a big difference in a couple of months. I mean, it makes a difference to the fact that we're actually here because we got to pay for the bandwidth and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, man, but these donations are especially appreciated in the next couple of weeks, or actually a couple of months, because we're going to make some improvements to the production values of the show. I mean, we're going to upgrade some things, sharper video. We're going to have a set of some sort. I'm not sure how virtual or green screen it's going to be. Should be interesting.
Right. And we're going to be bringing in George Clooney to play me.
Right. So who's going to play me? So I can just sit back and touch the buttons.
Right, exactly.
Andrew Kaufman also donated. Michael Martin, Philip Sapir donated. And who else? Bill Russell, friend yep. of the show, Bill
Thank
Russell.
Thank you, Bill.
Maureen Vogel, also known as Reen, donated as well. So
Uncle
thank
Roy
you,
says he donated.
Thanks, Uncle.
Thanks, Uncle Roy.
Thanks, brother.
Missed seeing you this weekend. Really I missed kind. Everybody this weekend. I mean, I was seriously sad on Saturday.
Yeah.
When I could not be at WovoCon this year. But yeah. I'll see everybody at FAFCON, I'm sure.
We'll have some time to make up for it.
We will. And of course, I'll be in Southern California. It'll be like FAFCON all the time.
We're going to have EWABS Con. Just tell your wife. We're going to have about 50 to 80 people over to the house.
He's going to be thrilled. Anyway, oh, yeah. Narrator helper.
Yeah, narrator helper. Got to come up with a jingle for her. Narrator helper, that's Amy Golan's proofing, editing, and mastering service. So if you're working on an audiobook, don't go it alone. At the very least, have somebody else proof it. And I think proofing starts at about $25 per finished hour. So it's affordable, and it's a massive time saver, and it will make you sane, or keep you sane. Well, I can't make you sane. If you're insane, I can't promise anything, but it'll keep you sane. And she's a great person to work with, a great ally.
Yep. Show logs, the amazing Jack DeGolia, every week compiles every last thing that we say on this show and saves it and then puts it in the Congressional Library. So it's there here on our website, right above my head. You'll see it. It says show logs. And in the upper right-hand corner of our page. And it'll give you the details on any show. So if there was something you were looking for, Jack put it in there. And make sure, if you missed the show, you can watch it on YouTube. It's youtube.com/ EWABS show with two S's, EWABSSHOW.
David and Smith, another donation I just found.
Thank you.
Let's
look at the tote board now.
Maria Makis, they're coming in. We need that thermometer that goes up. And
pull it up. Okay. Let's see what else here. The podcast version on Stitcher, iTunes, ewabs.podbean.com. Mm-hmm. And so if you like listening to us in the car, and why wouldn't you? Just go on there. And of course, you've probably all liked us on Facebook. Go like us again. And if you're hooked up in Twitter, my gosh, George, you've been throwing all sorts of cool stuff there on Twitter, all old episodes. And
yeah, it's been fun. And people are liking, and I mean, people are retweeting these and favoriting them. It's really cool. Thanks for everybody that's been retweeting that stuff.
Yeah. And of course, we'd like to thank our amazing sponsors, the one and only Harlan Hogan at VoiceOver Central's VoiceOver Extra, Edge Studio, and all those folks for providing uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth so you can watch this show in its entirety without a Lincoln commercial in the middle of it. And of course, we have to thank our wives, as we do every week, because they put up with this every week.
I know.
The fact that we allow you to come into our homes every Monday night, and you know, that means that, you know, I'm not watching TV with her or doing all these other things. It's like, are you done with your show yet?
I'm like, you don't realize how many people are watching this thing.
Thousands
and thousands of people. Actually, we're up to, let's see, the counters, 41,901 have totally watched this show since we started.
And that number sounds low, actually. I bet it's more than that. But
you haven't bought enough likes then.
Yeah, right.
Let's see here. Kathy Curran, our producer. Anthony Gettig for doing a fabulous job in the chat room tonight. Shelley Avellino when she's not driving. Jack DeGolia for all the stuff with the...
I got to hang out with Shelley. She was freaking awesome.
Oh, she's wild. She's great. She's
hilarious.
You know, she's got that cute little accent, and it's fun to hang out with her. Also, Jack DeGolia for the show logs, Tim McKean for working on VoiceOver Essentials, and Lee Pinney, of course, just for being Lee Pinney. We have a new Mugman coming up.
I got it.
You got it. This is, what's amazing is somebody from Frederator Studios saw this one and emailed Jacob, and he's going to be becoming part of their network on YouTube.
That's really great.
It's really great.
I'm really proud of him.
I'm real proud of him. Yeah. Anyway, so that's going to do it for us tonight. I think we're right on time here.
I think we are too.
All right. Well, in that case, I'm Dan Leonard, still in the East.
And I'm George Wood. I'm still in the West.
And together we are
East-West Audio Body Shop.
Shop. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week. Have you seen this one?
It's me, Mug. It's me, Mugman. It's me, Mugman. I bought more the other day. Well, off to the pet store. Sunshine, you really have to hiss at everyone?
Hey, what's with the hissing? You think it's funny?
Oh, it's you again.
Hi. Sunshine, where are you going?
Yeah, so, what is it you need?
Some cassowary food.
Here, just take this. As long as you get out of here.
Aw, thanks. Come on, Sunshine.
I hate that cassowary.
I wish these came in a bigger bag.